Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick, Becca, and Mark.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
We have a great show for you this week. We are talking about how to end a campaign, right? All good things must come to an end.
Just walk away.
Just walk away. Mark just throws his book on the table.
That's right.
Yeah, he totally hoos it. He like kicks over the table. He breaks everyone's dice boxes.
That's one way of doing it.
Yeah. That's right. There's multiple ways to end a campaign. Preferably, you end it with an epic battle at the end of epic tier, 10th level, riding off into the sunset. Realistically, where a campaign ends is sometimes more in a whimper and not so much in a bang. It fizzles out. There are time constraints. Schedules change. Everyone dies.
Which, again, is hard in 13th age, but it has happened.
Challenge accepted.
Has happened. No, I mean, because you can run away and stuff like that. Versus other systems.
Right.
They're a rarer instance. But it could happen, and you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So with 13th age being fairly narrative focused, sometimes it's good to keep the end in mind sooner rather than later, because you don't know if you're going to get a full 10 level game in the way you had initially planned, bright eyed and naive as a GM, and you sit down to play your game. But as a GM, you should always try to bring some sort of close, some sort of resolution.
Yeah, that's, you know, if you know you're going to end it, like our local game store game that had to end early, we finished that arc and finished that adventure and accomplished something, and then went off and kind of talked about what would happen afterwards. Mm-hmm. Kind of ended. Instead of just saying, okay, we're done. You know, once you guys again, you're like, what? We're in the middle of the mine.
Well, and that's helpful when you can anticipate the income, right? If you know, you look ahead 3 or 4 months and say, hey, this life stuff is going to be changing. We're going to have to let this go. We need to start wrapping this up and bring it all together. That's one thing. But the alternative scenario is something, you know, immediate happens. And say suddenly you got to pack up and move across the country somewhere, and you just have to end up letting it go. Mm-hmm. If you can anticipate it, I think that's where it's helpful to start figuring out how many sessions do we have between here and the end, and then how are we going to wrap up all of these loose threads. I think that, especially speaking from a player, ending a campaign when there are significant loose threads still out there is immensely unsatisfying. And I think that sometimes, not always, but sometimes those loose ends, those questions linger and are more prominent in the memory than the highlights of the game itself. And so when you think back of, oh, that was a great game I played 10 years ago. Well, it kind of ended on a weird note and we don't really know what happened. And that's what you end up remembering. So I think it's really important as a GM and as a player to work together and try to bring together as much closure as you can.
Yeah.
I haven't ever ended a campaign, either as a player or as a GM yet, but looking at one of my longest running campaigns, I have an idea of how it can end if it needs to end in the next session. Okay, I know kind of what I'm going to do to wrap it up. So at least there are fewer loose ends and they're not just still in the middle of Living Dungeon and, well, I don't know if you made it out or not. So I know while I haven't ended a campaign, I have an idea in my mind of what I would like it to look like. But with the way players go, they could change that very easily.
Oh, yeah. So how do we end a campaign of 13th age? Well, first of all, communicate with your players. If you're playing a traditional 13th age game and ending with level 10, the players are going to have some idea that it's coming, right? Level 10 is it. You level up to level 10, and in theory, the campaign should be pretty close to ending, because from a player's perspective, there's nothing else that mechanically their character can't get any better than level 10, right?
And true, but just because of, you know, this session you end, okay, now you're level 10, doesn't mean the next session is the end. But
no,
that's a time to remind them this it's is coming. The end. In a few sessions, depending on how things go, we'll be wrapping up some of your story arcs.
Yeah.
If it hasn't been wrapped up already.
Right. And, you know, for kind of tying into that, you want to start looking, really looking at, all right, has everyone's one unique thing really played a part in this campaign? Any backgrounds that I want to bring up one last time? What are our reoccurring plot threads? Nick and I have slightly different views on that. I like a little bit of mystery at the end of campaigns, either as a player or as a GM. I don't mind leaving... Well, what happened with this? Well, we'll have to play that out in a different game. like the main story comes to a conclusion. But
and I'm not saying you have to wrap up every loose.
No, thread, I know
the big ones, the ones that have had that reoccurring presence throughout the campaign. Those definitely need to be wrapped up.
Yeah, no, I agree that the campaign's plot should come to a satisfying conclusion, even if that conclusion is you've stopped them for now. Okay, the heroes did their job, right? I think the Call of Cthulhu campaigns, there is no, and we defeated the Elder Gods forever. No, but you defeated them for now, and sometimes that's enough. So I think that you go all out in a final session. We talked last episode about the GM as host. Go all out. Food and props, the whole nine yards. Take extra time if you can, like get a little bit longer session, take a little bit more time on your prep. If you've ended a session, or if you're thinking about ending a campaign, like what does going all out mean to you?
Maybe meeting, like you said, having a longer session to where people meet early, eat, maybe barbecue. And at that point, you start talking about the campaign. Remember 5 years ago when we started this? Or, hey, remember that guy John that played for a while until his, he had to move, but that character was so great. And kind of rehash some things in the past.
Yeah.
And then you buckle down to your session.
I was going to say, I probably would go about it the other way around. And we'll talk a little bit more about
it. Oh, afterwards? Thing,
but yeah. I would do the final sessions. And then after that, do all of the reminiscing.
Oh, okay.
Rather than trying to join all of that together. No. It's interesting we're talking about this because I just recently ended my Numenera campaign, and I ended up, rather than having it just be like one final session with everyone had a spotlight, I broke it up into like four sessions, and it's like, okay, these characters are going to have their spotlight in the here, and the next ones they're going to have it here, and the next ones are here, and the next ones are here. And talking to them afterwards, they said that they appreciated the fact that at the end, not necessarily at the very last session, but at the end of the game, they were able to have those moments where it was highlighting the stuff that they had been doing throughout the entire campaign and the consequences of those actions finally coming back around.
Yeah. Well, I think giving spotlights at the end of a campaign is super important. Everyone should feel, especially in the last session, well, I like your idea of like breaking it up a little bit, but especially in the last session, everyone needs to have a moment where they were like, okay, this is your moment as a hero, and this is why this could not have happened without you, or possibly happened because of you, depending on how closely you cleave to the consequence list. I'm always a big fan. I mean, 13th Age is F20, and F20 end of campaigns usually means a big fight.
Yeah.
I am all for making it as tough as possible. Make them earn that final... like basic building math goes out the window for the final fight of a campaign.
Oh yeah. Our final game store, half the party died. Yes. Or we assumed because we left them as we jumped through the gate.
No, they got squished.
They were squished.
They died.
Yeah. There were some people
who pushed them back in. Make sure they didn't get out.
No, I just, to clarify, we knew I was the fastest. So we gave me the important artifact.
She ran first.
And I got out first. And then other people aren't as fast as me.
That's true.
It wasn't my fault.
It was true.
But I think,
that's the important part of that one too, though. The one character didn't have a problem with his character dying. He wanted to make sure his soul kind of lived on. Mm-hmm. Something happened.
Right. He died during the fight.
He died during the fight. And he wanted to like, would this, even though the game was ending, my guy.
Was not so excited demon, about that.
Soul.
Well, and I think going out with a bang, it is easier. It's easier to throw a really big fight at the players at the very end because there's not as much concern about, is my character going to die? It's, I'm going to use every power that I have. I am going to go all out. I'm going to burn out. And if I survive, then that's what I'm going to remember. Versus you're not going to get that in like middle of level 4 or something like that.
Yeah,
because if you were to do that, you might end up dying the next fight.
Yeah, I think back to the last big Tanar ending. The group defeated this Draco Lich in a battle on an island miles above the ground. And the island started to fall. And they kind of all went, well, we're going to try our best to figure this out. But if we all die here, that's fine. We did what we came to do. And even if we all die here, it was satisfying as an ending. And I think there's something to be said for that feeling of triumph, sometimes even in defeat.
Mm-hmm. And just a twist knife jam didn't kill anyone. Nope, you're going to live on. Did they die? Did
anybody die? No, nobody died. I think the knife twisting came from the fact that the sorcerer fought on the, could not make their saves and ended up fighting on the Draco Lich's side the entire time.
As it should be.
Well, you know what? This is what happens when you eat dragon hearts in a game about a Draco Lich controlling dragons. I was like, sure, you could do that. And here's some cool things. And they just kept eating them going, oh, this is awesome. Should have seen that coming. Because as soon as it happened, the player went, I did this. I'm like, you did do this. And just couldn't make their save to save their life. And it came down to the ranger going, I have one arrow left. Do I take out the sorcerer or do I shoot it at the dragon? And he shot it at the dragon. That was what killed it. But he was seriously considering killing Ben because Ben ate a bunch of dragon hearts and should not have. Anyway, Mark and Nick kind of brought this out. This is something that I've done for many, many campaign endings. At the end, allow time for an epilogue. Allow time for an ending montage. What does your character do now that they've done X or saved the world or, you know, whatever X happens to be? There's something satisfying about going, oh, my character goes and rules this thing, or they fade off into the sunset and legends of them continue on. We have a montage mechanic. Like,
I step into the vacant iconic spot,
right,
and become the new Dwarf King.
While I haven't ended a campaign, I have sent off players who have moved knowing that this was their last session. All right, like, let's wrap it up for you. And yeah, their most satisfying ending was, I get married, I settle down, I have a farm, and I don't have to worry about the big bad anymore. And just about everybody in the group kind of went, oh, I'm kind of jealous. Like, mm-hmm. We still have to go deal with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
When one of our patrons, Clark, commented about when his PCs reach level 10, he asked him, what would make the satisfying ending for your character? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some of them wanted to be an icon, that sort of thing. And it's a matter of not only having that epic culmination, the climax of the campaign, but also leaving the openings for those players to step into whatever is going to happen afterward. Mm-hmm. So if they want to become the icon, or if they want to get married and run a tavern somewhere, then, you know, you kind of have to be crafting that with your final sessions in mind.
For sure. Don't tell your players what happens to them. They should have some sort of input into that. And well,
mine already wants to be the icon at first level. Yeah. Well, it's his one unique thing. He's reincarnated icon. So
yeah, I think there's something to be said for saying, all right, here's the last montage of the game. Tell me what happens. Mm-hmm. Like, because as the GM, that final fight, that kind of is your climax to the story, right? Your plot comes to a resolution when they succeed or fail at dealing with the threat.
I told you what I did with the three of us who lived. I take the eye and hide it in Nico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you had that. And I feel like it empowers the players to kind of feel like, well, what would give me the most satisfaction knowing that my character did? Now, Nick brought up there is also a cut to black, and I've used that as well.
Yeah, that's how I ended my Numenera campaign. Is I had initially been thinking about giving them an opportunity to do a montage or narrate what happens to your character or the group after this fact. But then, as it always does, the very last session at the very end went totally sideways, and they pushed a time wraith through a time portal at the same time that they grabbed his staff, and they slashed a portal. They closed the portal and slashed open another one. I was like, and we're done. Yeah. And talking to them afterwards, they said that they liked that. Mm-hmm.
The quantum leap ending, if you will.
Yeah. Yes. And we see that in movies too, you know, where they make a first movie, but they want to leave it maybe open enough for a sequel. Mm-hmm. And so it's, that first movie is satisfying, but then there's also that hook at the end that this story could continue, and it does, but we don't know if we're ever actually going to see it.
Exactly.
And that's a perfect seed for your next campaign. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it right after that event, the next age, something like that, but you can play that back of, okay, this is what happened. You're picking it up.
There's a writer's comment where they say the first chapter of your book sells that book. The last chapter sells your next book. Mm-hmm. Your first session with your players is going to get them hooked in this game, or it's not. The last session with your players is going to bring them back for the next game.
Exactly.
And Tim, one of our patrons, also had commented this, which goes to what you were just saying, Mark, about if a new campaign is going to start in the same setting, then don't wrap up all of the plot threads. Otherwise, provide as many of them as possible with a satisfying ending. If you're going to be changing games, changing settings, then I think you've got a lot more leeway about how you're going to be ending it. But especially if you're going to be coming back and playing 14th Age, keep those PCs around, figure out where they are, what they're going to be doing, and then have those people or those characters be coming back in that setting again. Well,
that's one of my epilogue things too, was you have your main storyline and main things people are trying to accomplish, but there's that consequence list, as JM refers to it is, but also this, some of the NPCs or certain side things that you did, forgot about, but have repercussions that you can cover. If you know, it's either plot for the next game, but if you're moving on to a completely different system, you can kind of like, oh, you remember way back at fifth level when you know, you cheated that tiefling? Well, this is what happened because of
it. Yeah, and I like to either, usually the session after we wrap up and we do our epilogues, the next session that the gaming group meets, I like to do kind of a post-mortem where it's like a wrap session. We don't plan on doing anything. We have food and drinks and I'm like, all right, what questions did you guys have about the game? I can't answer that one. Here's what was going on with this one. What were your favorite moments? What didn't work? What did work? Get feedback from your players. Figure out what you're going to play next. Maybe even like dovetail into talking about the next campaign. Mm-hmm. We did that with our Numenera game.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I did for my last session as well. We had our last session, and then the next time we met up, we had a session Z and session zero at the same time. So we gave the players the chance to talk about their favorite NPCs, their favorite moments, those times when they felt like their character really shined. Like when I think back about what my character was and the idea that I had him at the very beginning, this is the moment where I saw that come to fruition. Ask those questions, get the feedback. I had one player ask me, so whatever happened to this? And I had to honestly say, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
And not knowing that was an important part to them. But
that he was just an innkeeper. Let it go.
I feel like Mark has some traumatic innkeeper experience that we're going to hear about a lot in season 3.
It never fails. You develop NPCs, you have backstories, you have the voice. They could care less. And then they go to the smithy and it turns into half an hour and you're like, I have nothing for this guy. Why are they fixated? And sometimes it's because you just slip up and say something like, oh, he knows something. Like, no, he doesn't know anything. Just buy a sword and move on. It happens all the time. But I think it also makes you a better GM because you have to think on your feet and do stuff. But
yeah,
invariably the NPC you want to talk to, they could care less.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for the next show from Iconic Productions, GM Trauma with Mark. That's kind of what I thought about end of campaigns. You guys have any other thoughts, final thoughts that you wanted to add in? Anything you feel like we didn't cover?
No, I mean, it helps. I think if you make it memorable, not just ending and saying, okay, see you guys next week. Think about when we play. And yeah, if they're friends, you'll come to them back because they want to play and you're running something for them. But I think, yeah, if you do the postmortem epilogue of the game, characters, maybe characters you died, players who left early because they moved and what you remembered of them, kind of helps wrap it up and people remember those games longer.
I think that after the game session is also helpful to kind of, as people step away from the game, and say what worked about this.
Yeah,
you know, kind of it's a good time to reevaluate that social contract. What did you guys like about this game? What didn't you like? Did you like the fact that I kept all your character sheets at my house, or would you rather take them home? These are the things as a GM that I didn't really care about. You know, those sorts of people conversations that sometimes it's hard to have when you're in the middle of something, but it's more appropriate to have maybe when you're between games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I feel like that's a short show, but I feel like we covered quite a bit.
Yeah. And I'd say that if any of our listeners, if you're a GM and you have some ideas about how to end a campaign or some campaigns that you felt were ended very well, leave us a comment. And as a player, if you have any feedback to help us as GMs learn better, leave us a feedback too. What campaigns ended very well from your perspective? And what are maybe some examples of things that didn't work well?
Yeah. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. Or by using our Amazon referral link, which you can find in our show notes or on our website, to do your online shopping.
Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.